Welcome to the Every Nation New York podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Enjoy the talk.
My name is Nathan. It's good to welcome you here to the Upper East Side, our Every Nation service on the Upper East Side. If you are a first-time guest with us, we want to extend a very warm welcome to you. We're so glad that you're here with us. We've been walking through a series called Viral, and it's looking at the viral spread of the gospel in the early church, through the early church, how God took this ragtag group of people and turned them into this mission force and spread them around really the known world at the time. But before we get into the text today, I want to just update you on how my week's been going. People have been asking, how was your week? And there's this beautiful metaphor for how my week's been going. And it started on Monday, like all Mondays do, with a Monday. Amen. I decided, it was a beautiful day, and so I decided I'm going to bike to work. And I was coming around the traffic circle. I want to call it a roundabout, because I'm my years in Scotland, the roundabout with Frederick Douglass, the rotunda with Frederick Douglass, me and Frederick Douglass, and my phone fell out of my pocket, and this is basically the metaphor for my week. It got run over. Not only did it fall out, it got run over like a direct hit by this Mercedes that was behind me, so it was broken front and back. My new phone, right? This is that 8, the coveted. Yeah, so that was the start of my week. But how many of you guys have had this experience where just something in your life breaks? Yeah, there's something broken. And this is a picture, like this is a very light picture of all the different things that could break down in our life. A phone is one of actually the least of our worries. Our health can break down, our family can break down. Our church can break down, our community can break down, our nation can break down. There's all these different things, all these different breakings that we can experience. And in the scheme of things, my phone, though we groan inwardly, is really not that big of a deal. But this is kind of how my week started. And today we're going to get into a passage where there's a lot of breaking. There's a lot of stuff that breaks. And unfortunately, it's a lot more serious than an iPhone. Last week, we looked at this passage around the stoning of Stephen. It was the early church's first martyr, the first person that got killed for their faith. And we pick up the story where that leaves off in Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And it starts like this, and Saul approved of his execution. So there was this guy named Saul, who was a very devout Jewish man who started to persecute the early church. Persecute his own brothers, his own Jewish people, but he was persecuting them because they started to believe and call upon the name of Jesus. And so he oversaw and approved of the execution of Stephen. And there arose in that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentations over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house, and he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Let's pray. Father, we're deeply aware today that we live in a broken world with breaking things all around us. And God, I pray that today, by your Holy Spirit, that you would visit us, that you'd give us encouragement and faith in the midst of brokenness, that you'd give us hope in the midst of our brokenness, and that, God, we could see what you are working out of us and working out through us, through the broken areas of our life. God, today we offer our whole beings up to you, the good parts and the broken parts, and I pray that, God, today you would work through your might, through your goodness, good things into our lives and out of our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. I've entitled this message, Out of the Brokenness. Out of the Brokenness. because we want to look at the brokenness in our lives, and we want to look at the brokenness in our world, and understand it is broken. I mean, Marquita, in her encouragement today, she mentioned Thanksgiving and the dark history around Thanksgiving, and we don't want to deny that brokenness. But we also want to see, what is God bringing out of the brokenness? So we're not just going to stop and say, okay, things are broken. We're not going to deny and say, no, everything's fine. But we want to see, what is God doing? What is God bringing out of the brokenness? Just like she said, so we still give thanks. We're still going to give thanks even though things are broken. Even though we have a dark history, we're still going to give thanks. Those were Marquita's words. Thank you. Not just me. Other people feel that way too. So what is God bringing out of our brokenness? We start this passage with a broken body, this execution. And it wasn't just execution the way that America does it, where it produces this kind of sanitized thing. They had stoned this man. They had beat him with rocks until he died. And so I can only imagine the scene that his friends, his family came upon after the crowds had cleared and the dust had settled. There was a broken body. It was approved of by this guy Saul in verse 1, and Saul had approved of his execution. And then in verse 2, there were these devout men that came forward and made a grave, and they wept over their friend. And it started with this broken body. Hopefully none of you have been executed, but we all can relate to the brokenness of this scene. We all experience brokenness even within our own body. I don't know of anybody's body that does exactly what they want them to do. Even elite athletes still suffer. I suffer by not being an elite athlete. Most of us suffer by not being an elite athlete. But we all know what it is to not feel right in our body, to not have our body doing and behaving the way that we want it and we feel like it ought. And we're not always at home in our flesh. We're not always at home here. And there's a brokenness across just everybody. This scene starts with a very broken body. And then it moves on to a broken church. In verse 1, there arose then that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria. And so all of their friends and all of their family and all the people that they had started believing with, there were about over 5,000 people there, this church, this single church in Jerusalem, over 5,000 people. And then they were all scattered across the surrounding areas. So they had started to grow in faith with these people. They started to share their possessions with these people. They started to get to know these people and do life together with this brand new church. And then it was scattered. We as a church, we're looking for a new venue. We're on a hunt for a new venue. We're going to be moving in the new year, right? We're going to be combining our East and our West Side services, and we're not going anywhere until that day comes. But some of us have gone, oh man, I wish that we had this, and I wish that we had that. But it could be a lot worse. This church was truly broken, truly scattered, and I'm not saying that this is the perfect church, but I'm also not saying that this is the early church where we were suffering great persecution and all of our friends and family are scattered. This church has lost many people, lost them to their own mission and calling. We lost Pastor George to a calling of God to move to L.A., to be the chaplain of the L.A. Chargers. God called him away. We've sent people and we've empowered people to go, and people have moved onto new callings and to new places. And I feel like part of that is the rhythm of New York City. And we mourn that and we grieve that, but we also celebrate that. There's a lot of celebration there. But this is something that's been happening in church since church existed, is that people have been scattered. Church has been broken apart. Church has experienced issues from outside and issues from inside. And the question is not so much will there be brokenness, but what's going to come out of the brokenness? The third thing that breaks here is there's a broken families. There's broken families. In verse 3, Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house and dragging off men and women and committed them to prison. I know that some of us can relate to that passage, that many of us have family members that are in prison. some rightly, some probably wrongly. And that we can relate to the brokenness that the law can bring. And in this case, it was very unjust, especially by today's standards. You know, being in prison for believing something is in America would be an outrage. But there was an injustice there. We all know what legal injustice looks like, feels like, particularly in America, even in 2017. We're very aware of that today. But whether you're on the right side or less than the right side of the law today, rightly or wrongly, we all know what familial brokenness looks like for a family member to be missing or gone, for our family not to be as whole as we'd want it, for family to be broken apart, to be pulled apart geographically, emotionally, legally, whatever the case is. We all deal, I believe all of us deal with broken families. We all deal with broken bodies. We all deal with broken families. And if you're a part of a church, then you definitely deal with a broken church. But what is God bringing out of this deeply broken scenario? What is God doing here? Because I believe that while brokenness is a reality, what God is bringing out is what we can celebrate. So we recognize the brokenness, but we don't stop there. Yes, this church is a church filled with broken people, but we don't want to stop there and just say, okay, we're just, you know, come to me all the tired and poor and huddled masses, period. No, that's not where we want to stop. All right, now we want to go somewhere. What is God going to bring out of our brokenness? Because, all right, we can relate to this, but what is God going to do next? And so we pick up again in verse 4. We're going to read some new stuff here. And now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. So they were scattered, but they started to do something. They were active. They didn't just stop it. Man, we're broken. My church got broken apart. My husband or wife got in prison. My dad or my mother got thrown into prison. They didn't just stop there, but they started to let something good come out of them. And Philip went down to the city in Samaria to proclaim to them Christ. And the crowd was paying attention with one accord to what was being said by Philip. And when they heard him and saw the signs that he did, for unclean spirits were crying out with a loud voice and came out of many who had them. And many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in the city. Something came out of this broken scenario. There was broken body, there was broken families, there was a broken church, but that's not where it stopped. Something started to come out. Something started to work its way out of the brokenness. I believe that brokenness is a prerequisite to being used by God. Your brokenness does not disqualify you from being used by God. It actually qualifies you. Because God only uses broken people because only broken people are available. And if you're so prideful as to think that you don't have a broken family or you don't have a broken body or you don't have a broken church, then God can't use that pride. God uses humble people. God uses broken people. Our brokenness qualifies us to be used by God. Our brokenness qualifies us for something good to come out. He's put his glory in these clay vessels so that the glory could be seen even more clearly. And this is the way that God works. This is the way that God operates time and time and time again. I believe it's the grape has to be crushed to release the wine. The olive has to be crushed to release the oil. If something good is going to come out of us, oftentimes there's a breaking that has to happen. And we also know that this looks and sounds a lot like Jesus Christ, who is broken and crushed for our iniquities and whose stripes brings us healing. He had to be crushed to bring goodness out of himself to us. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brings us peace. And by his wounds, we are healed, right? And so while the breaking in our lives is a reality, the breaking can never be stopped. The question is, what are we going to let come out of us? And how do we not waste our breaking? Okay, so if there's pain in your life, if there's brokenness in your life, if there's broken family and broken bodies and broken churches, how do you not waste it? How do we see this brokenness come to good? So if you're going to go through it, if you're going to experience sickness, if you're going to experience suffering, then you may as well not waste it, right? You might start to share this story. You might start to use this story. You might start to believe and hope for something. So I want to just bring out a couple of points that could help us. Since the breaking is going to happen, how do we use this? How do we not waste it? And the first thing I'd like to say is to encourage you to do is to break openly. Break openly. When these devout men buried Stephen, they made great lamentations over him. They cried. They wailed. They suffered. They were sad. They did it openly and they did it publicly. I think that this is a good model. I think this is good. This is right. We don't suppress. We don't hide. We don't say, oh no, I've got everything together. When we come into church, we put on our Sunday best. Well, I could definitely do better. But you guys look great. You guys look great. We put on our best Sunday smile. We encourage each other and we say good things to each other, but I hope that there are people in this space that you can be honest with. I hope that there's people in this place that you can let down your guard with and be open with. I hope that your connect group has space for honesty. I hope that your friendship here, that when somebody asks you, how are you doing, that you can just really let them know. Maybe your Thanksgiving was really crap. Maybe it was horrible. Right? I moved back to the U.S. about 8-9 months ago with my family. I was in Scotland for 11 years. I'm sorry. You know, the regulars, you guys are like rolling your eyes now. Yeah, Scotland. All right. This is for those who are new. I'm welcoming the... All right. So I was in Scotland for 11 years. But like culture shock is starting to catch up with me. I'm going, man, I'm in Thanksgiving land, and everybody else is celebrating, and I didn't really care to celebrate. I didn't really want to do anything. I just wanted to kind of just lay low, and just pretend it wasn't happening. And sometimes you don't even know what you really want, you know, because by the time the day was done, Elsa and I were like kind of angry at each other for missing whatever opportunities we could have had to celebrate. And we were like, man, I wanted to lay low. I just wanted to pretend it wasn't happening, to order Chinese food. And she was like, I wanted to celebrate, and we didn't communicate. And then there was just this breaking, and now I'm breaking openly, right? And so my Thanksgiving, it could have been better, frankly. And that's not anybody's fault. It's not because, you know, like I had invitations, I declined. You know, it was not that. It was me. I was broken. I was wanting something that I didn't know I wanted. I was out of sync with myself. So I hope that you can be honest and have these cathartic moments with somebody around you. The next thing that they did was that this church was scattered. In verse 4, they broke openly and they scattered. And every week, this church actually breaks open. We break open the back doors and we go in peace. And when we say go in peace, we're not just saying these words because they're nice words. And we hope that they encourage you and you get this warm feeling. But what we want you to do and what we hope that we do every Sunday when we break open the back doors and we go up the escalator and we get out of this basement, we hope that we're invading the city with the peace of God, that we're breaking open, that we're going, and that we're scattering well. Every week we gather and every week we scatter. And our prayer is that we break open and we take the peace of God into our family. And we take the peace of God into our workplace. And we take the peace of God into our subway. Because God knows these places need the peace of God. And so when we say go in peace, we're not just saying be filled with good feelings for yourself, but be filled with the presence and the peace and the power of God for the city. And that's what it means to scatter. And this word in the Greek, it means dispersal, and it sounds a lot like the word diaspora, and the diaspora is those that are scattered abroad, the Jewish people that are scattered abroad, that were exiled from their home in Jerusalem, and basically that was happening again to this early church. They were being diaspora, they were being scattered, they were being removed from their home. They were being removed from their temple. They were being removed from their family. And God removed them from these creature comforts of their life so that they could discover who they were and what God had called them to do. And this was God's intention for the children of Israel in the Old Testament when they were diaspora, when they were scattered, when they were exiled. He wanted to remove them from their temple, remove them from their homeland, remove them from their creature comforts so that they could start to be a blessing to the world. This is what Jeremiah 29 is talking about. When it says, pray for the peace and prosperity of the city. God had just exiled his children into Babylon. And then there was these prophets that said, don't worry, guys, don't settle down. Don't bother building houses or getting jobs or anything. We're going to be out of here in like 3 to 5 years. We're going to just ride it out. And Jeremiah comes in and says, not a chance. These prophets, they're not from God. We're going to be here for 70 years. And so take husbands, marry your children, get them husbands and wives, build houses, plant gardens, settle down, and pray for the peace and prosperity of the city. Because when the city prospers, you're going to prosper. And so as Christians, we're called to scatter. We're called to not just clump together and feel good in our Christian huddles and feel good with people that believe like us and think like us and read the same books and watch the same TV and listen to the same music. Hale and I turned on some Christian music this morning. It was just like, what is this? But some Christians like that, others don't. But my call is to listen to other music if you don't already. And to maybe listen to what your office mates listen to maybe... Don't defile yourself. Don't violate your conscience. Don't do anything like that. But be aware of what is happening. Keep up with the current affairs so that you can talk to new people, right? I mean, we're living in New York. You don't need to be told that, right? Not by me. I need to be told that. But we have to scatter well. We need to break openly. Break openly. My next encouragement, as we're breaking, since breaking is happening anyway, is to break in hope. To break in hope. Even like these devout men, they lamented, but there was also a devoutness about them. They were steadfast in their faith as they buried their friend. Can you imagine this? Burying your friend who was killed because he called upon the name of Jesus. And then the next thing that you do is you go and publicly call upon the name of Jesus, publicly proclaim Jesus. That's devout. That's breaking in hope. That is saying, all right, my hope is not in my personal health. My hope is not in my family's wholeness. My hope is not in the hope that this church is going to hold together and be able to support me. My hope is in Jesus. They were devout. They believed it. They knew where their hope was. And so when they broke, when their friend broke, and when their families broke, and when their church broke, they still had hope. They still had hope. They could see a bright future even though their family was falling apart. They could see a bright future even though the body count was rising. They broke in hope. And then in verse 4, they went and scattered. After they scattered, they went preaching. They shared the word. They shared this hope. They shared that Jesus' kingdom was coming. This is what we try to do here every week. We praise and we worship and we praise God so that we can get our hope up. Our hope can be proclaimed to be in Jesus. Our hope can be proclaimed to be in God Almighty. Our hope can get off of our job and get off of our paycheck and get off of our apartment, get off of our family, get off of our spouse, get off of our friends, get off of our church even, and get onto Jesus. That is what we hope to do every week when we praise God. Some of you might have looked around and seen people clapping and shouting, lifting hands, smiling. You thought, man, they're happy. And I don't see that. When I see people praising God, when I see people jumping, when I see people going after God, I don't see happy people. I see people that know that they need to get in the presence of God. Right? I see people that are probably broken and know where their hope is. I don't see happy people. I don't see people that have their life together. I see people who know where their hope lies. Psalm 147 basically says something to that effect. It says, praise the Lord. This call to praise God. Praise Him. Sing to Him. For it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant. Sing a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and gives them all their names. Great is the Lord, abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. And the Lord lifts the humble and casts the wicked to the ground. When we praise God, we praise him not because our life is together, but because we know we need him to get our life together. When we break, we need to break in hope. Finally, when breaking comes, when the breaking happens, my encouragement is to break with the broken. Break with the broken. These guys, they didn't keep the good news to themselves, but they took it to the hurting. They took it to the broken. You see this in verse 7. They take it to people with unclean spirits. They take it to people who are suffering with afflictions, mental illnesses, physical illnesses, people who are paralyzed, and they start to see these people get healed. That's not exactly my reaction when I experience brokenness. When I bury my friend, when my wife goes to prison, and when I get kicked out of my home, evicted from my apartment, my first thought is like, all right, time to find some broken people and pray for them, see God heal them. That's not my first thought. If I had to bury my friend and my wife got locked up in prison, I got evicted from my apartment, my first thought would not be, all right, let's go find somebody that's paralyzed, pray for them. But these guys broke in hope. They knew where their hope was found. They broke openly. And then when they broke with the broken. They said, hey, I can relate. They said, I can feel that pain. I can understand what you're going through. I get it in some way. I believe that we need to get it with each other. That when we look across the aisle and we see somebody that doesn't look like us, or we see somebody that's experienced greater pain than us, while we don't get it fully, we need to be able to relate. Because we're broken people too. Whatever manner of brokenness that is, it's not entirely different from my manner of brokenness. I need to be able to relate, which is why anybody and everybody is welcome into this church. Every kind of background, every kind of thing, welcome here. So we need to break with the broken. And then finally, my fourth encouragement, when we experience breaking, is to know the one who is broken for you. Know the one who is broken for you. Again, Isaiah 53. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And by his wounds, we are healed. I'm going to invite the band up at this time. What's incredible about the Christian story, it's not that when you become a Christian, you never experience pain again. It's not that you're never going to experience the brokenness of this world. But the extraordinary thing about the Christian story, it's not just pie in the sky. It's not just escapism. It actually pulls us into this broken reality because God himself stepped into this broken reality. God stepped in. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, and that's what we celebrate at Christmas time, that God became flesh, that God became Emmanuel. He became God with us. And he stepped into this brokenness. And he didn't just say, I'm going to leave you in that brokenness. I'm going to third-party experience this brokenness. I'm not just going to look out the glass of my window, my limousine, and observe the brokenness of this world and do a flyby. But I'm going to get into this brokenness and personally experience it. And as God himself experiences the brokenness, he takes the brokenness upon himself and he breaks the breaking. He breaks the brokenness so that you and I could step into healing, so that you and I could step into wholeness, so that you and I could believe and trust that one day all things are going to be made right. He was pierced for our transgressions, for the things, the stupid things that we've done wrong. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. Some of us have done stupid things and done wrong things, and we need forgiveness. We need those weights to be given away. Others of us have had extremely horrible things done to us. and this has really become very commonplace in our media these days, as the hashtag MeToo has erupted. Many horrible things have been done to people, and they're innocent people that are suffering and carrying pain that they just don't deserve. But upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. We feel chastised, we feel guilty, we feel shame, but Jesus Christ brings us peace in this. He carries those weights for us. And by his wounds, we are healed. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he makes things new. In Revelation chapter 21, I'm going to end on this verse. Jesus is seated on his throne. And it's a vision of what is to come. Just like the prophets prophesied that the Messiah is coming for thousands of years, we know that he's coming again. And when he comes again, he's not just coming to enter into the brokenness, but to make all things new. And he sits on his throne and he says this, "And then I saw the heavens, a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, a new city coming down out of the heavens from God, prepared as a bride adorns herself for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God, and he will wipe every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more, and neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.' And he was seated on the throne says, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" If you've experienced this brokenness, if you've experienced this pain, I'd like to invite you to just stand with me. Let's stand together. God, we come to you today as people broken. But thank you, God, that we're not just broken, but we're broken with hope. We're broken with purpose. We're broken with meaning. And God, I pray that today you would inject and infuse meaning into every broken part of our life, God. That you say, you're not just broken for meaninglessness. You're not just broken to be in pain. You're not just broken for suffering's sake, but you're broken so that you can identify with me. And you're broken so that you can identify with the broken of this world. And God, I pray that you would press hope through the gaps of our life. Press hope through the broken pieces of our souls. Press hope through the broken pieces of our family, God. Not just to bring us hope, but to bring this world hope. To reflect your beauty, to reflect your glory, to reflect your redemptive power through this city, God. God, I pray that as today when we leave and we break open these doors, God, that we not just go about our own comfortable business, but God, that you would send us and scatter us into the city as agents of hope, as agents of change, as agents called by you, broken with purpose, broken to reflect your glory, and God, agents to bring your healing power to every person that we encounter. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us at Every Nation New York City, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the city one life at a time.